We could spend all day saying thank you to those who support WSHU with financial contributions. I'm WSHU reporter Desiree DiOrio, and one way I say thank you is by covering military and veterans news to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom. Thank you for making this trusted resource available to our community. We're expanding our world together.
Multiple brush fires are now burning in Connecticut. The Hawthorne fire that started in Berlin is the largest, but around 10 acres in Oxford are burning too. Thomas Trask is a forest protection supervisor with the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection.
We are working in conjunction with FAA, and we are also working with local resources in Rhode Island, Massachusetts to fill our need for more appliances such as hoses, nozzles, and pumps. All resources are coming together appropriately, and we are doing what we need to get this fire under control.
Officials say the massive fire that began in Berlin Monday has been expensive to put out. FEMA has approved a grant to help cover the cost, which is already over hundreds of thousands of dollars. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Almost all Bridgeport teachers say they lack confidence in their superintendent. New York voters can take advantage of an election hotline. Long Island road rage incidents are on the rise, plus how the presidential election could impact the housing crisis in our region. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. A survey of 600 teachers in Bridgeport revealed that 97% of respondents lack confidence in the district's superintendent. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
Bridgeport teachers have been sounding the alarm on what they say are poor working and learning conditions since before the school year started. The Bridgeport Education Association sent a survey to 1,200 of the city's public school teachers. Around 50% responded. 97% of respondents said they have no confidence in Superintendent Carmela Levy-David. Connecticut Education Association President Kate Diaz says the survey is a wake-up call to the Bridgeport Board of Education.
I honestly believe that the best thing the board could do and the thing that we will advocate for is to take the superintendent out of her position, put an interim in place, and allow this district to start to rebuild.
80% of respondents also say they've considered leaving the district. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The New York State Attorney General's Office says it will once again open an election hotline to protect voters during the election season. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
Attorney General Letitia James says the hotline is available to resolve problems voters may have with voting by absentee ballot, early voting, and voting in person. The hotline will be up and running during the state's early voting period, which runs through November 3rd. James says voters are protected from intimidation, deception, suppression, and obstruction under state and federal laws. The Office of the Attorney General has operated the hotline since 2012. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Voters can access the hotline by going to electionhotline.ag.ny.gov. Congress is considering legislation that would establish safety and security measures for survivors of domestic violence. The bill is based on a Connecticut law that was passed 2 years ago. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut is a sponsor of the bill. He says the Security and Financial Empowerment for Survivors Act, SAFE, would allow domestic violence victims to take time off from work without fear of penalty.
Financial pain.
The Connecticut law the legislation is based on provides access to paid leave and workplace protections for survivors of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, gender-based violence, and stalking. It requires that employers provide reasonable accommodations to assist survivors dealing with the aftermath of violence and provides access to unemployment benefits for survivors. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Thank you. affordable housing is a major concern for those in Connecticut this election season. A look at how whoever wins the White House could impact the affordable housing crisis. That story is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Cuba is famous for salsa dancing, classic cars, and cigars. It's also culturally rich with ballet, art, and classical music. How does sunny Cuba in February sound to you? Join me and a small group of your fellow public radio listeners. We will tour the island. We will sample the cuisine. It's a unique adventure to Cuba, and space is limited. So find out more at WSHU.org.
A congested portion of I-95 in Stamford is getting an expansion thanks to $76 million in federal money. The state will add a lane between exits 6 and 7. This and other nearby stretches of the highway are ranked among the most congested in the country. Long Island home prices reached a record high in the third quarter of 2024 as more home buyers entered the market. Median home prices on Long Island, excluding the East End, have gone up by more than $300,000 in the last 5 years. An effort to improve infrastructure at Connecticut State Parks and Forests has gotten a $30 million boost. It includes $3 million for areas seriously damaged by flooding from August. $70 million was already allocated by the state from the American Rescue Plan. The Restore CT Parks initiative is meant to catch up on the backlog of needed repairs across 110 parks and 32 forests. Vehicle accidents involving either road rage or aggressive driving have increased 15% on Long Island. That's according to a Newsday investigation that tracked data from 2020 to 2023, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
When Newsday expanded the data to include all road rage incidents, not just crashes with injuries or property damage, the increase in Nassau County was even more dramatic, a 210% spike. Suffolk County Police say they don't track road rage incidents. They did arrest a man this week in West Babylon for allegedly ramming another vehicle and running over the driver in a road rage incident. The increase coincides with more traffic congestion since the COVID-19 pandemic has faded. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
With a housing crisis underway, housing affordability is a major concern among voters in Connecticut and across the country. Abigail Brown reports on housing agendas being proposed by both presidential candidates ahead of November.
It's hard to escape the headlines over housing.
As many as 6 million new homes are needed to
home buying remains a top issue for
one of the biggest issues, the lack of homes for sale.
A recent Gallup poll found that when it comes to financial worries, housing was number two on the list. But many housing programs proposed by the two presidential candidates already exist in Connecticut. Some plans are vague. Former President Donald Trump's housing policies revolve around cutting taxes and curbing illegal immigration. Sean Guillo is policy director with the Connecticut housing nonprofit Partnership for Strong Communities. Guillo says Trump's track record as president included defunding federal housing programs and ending Obama-era efforts to decrease housing discrimination.
What we have is a federal Department of Housing and Urban Development that's hostile to its constituents, and I'd expect to see that again. Nexus between deporting immigrants and housing affordability is lost on me.
Trump also wants to focus on single-family housing by protecting and expanding exclusionary zoning. That type of zoning places the power to construct new buildings in the hands of local leaders, and it makes it more difficult to get approval for multifamily homes. Guillo says Connecticut is a poster child for this practice.
Connecticut's one historic example of that. We've been at it for very long, much longer than most places in the country, and we do it in a much more extreme way based on lots of research. Our lot sizes are bigger. We approve fewer homes.
Vice President Kamala Harris is looking to add more multifamily homes. Harris has also outlined specifics for increasing affordable housing and decreasing housing costs. several of the Harris proposals already exist in Connecticut, in smaller forms. That includes down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers and incentivizing rehabilitation of older homes. It's an often overlooked part of the housing market, Guillo says.
There's some programs now to try to address those homes. Older single-family homes, older two-three family homes, but they're all very small.
When it comes to construction of new housing, however, both candidates have plans that need fleshing out. A Harris proposal that would be new for Connecticut involves a tax credit for the construction of a starter home. But it isn't clear what counts as a starter home. Guillo says for places like Connecticut, with significant suburban sprawl, starter homes should include townhouses, condos, and small multifamily buildings.
I'd ask, you know, our federal representatives and senators to push for starter home to mean something broad, that something that's of something someone can own.
Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut agrees housing isn't one size fits all. He says Trump's plans to decrease taxes won't equal decreased rents.
We have seen this movie before. It doesn't lead to more affordable housing, and it doesn't lead to more wealth equity. It means enriching people at the very tippy top of the wealth spectrum of this country, and that's not going to result in more affordable housing.
Trump is also looking to add housing on federal land, a complicated move that would have little impact in Connecticut. Democratic Congressman Jim Himes, who represents parts of Fairfield and New Haven counties, says that plan wouldn't mitigate the housing affordability crisis.
Federal lands are largely in sparsely populated places in Nevada and Wyoming and Idaho, where it's not clear people want to live. I don't suspect that there's a lot of federal land in downtown Boston or downtown San Francisco where the housing crisis is most acute.
I contacted several Republican state lawmakers on housing and development committees. I wanted them to discuss what the candidates' plans would look like in Connecticut. All declined to comment. But Himes says we should keep in mind that the president, any president, has little say over the housing market and even less over housing construction.
States and municipalities have much more control, and it will be through working with states and municipalities, not with the Oval Office, that we fix this problem.
Himes says the issue of housing costs is a little bit like gasoline prices. Voters will blame whoever is in office when prices go up, and they'll credit whoever's in office when prices go down. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Abigail Brown.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And over at WSHU.org, we have answers to all of your election-related questions. Early voting, ballot measures, deadlines, where to vote, and more. There's also an interactive map that can tell you who the candidates are in your area and what they stand for. The page is a work in progress, so it'll be updated as we get closer to Election Day, so be sure to keep an eye on the guide. Again, that's at WSHU.org. Scroll down a little bit on the homepage, and there's a banner that says 2024 Elections. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day and a wonderful weekend. I will talk to you on Monday.